They're hurting our country. They're hurting our economy. There are special trade privileges that are being enacted to Israel. A few years ago, there's a change in our trade policies that hurt dairy farmers in America. I know Michigan has a lot of dairy farmers. I used to live here. I remember a friend of mine grew up on a dairy farm. But dairy farmers in America were being hurt with legislation that was benefiting Israel. On top of that, Israel spies on the U.S. You know, all of this is well documented. It's just not reported very often in our media. According to the Government Accounting Office, the GAO, Israel spies on us more than any other ally. It spies on us regularly. Through the years, it has periodically stolen American technology. Then that technology, in some cases, has been shared with countries that were considered our adversaries, such as China and the Soviet Union. There have been a number of spying cases, not too long. My son is at Caltech in Pasadena. Well, at Caltech, this is the top research university pretty much in the world, certainly one of the top in the world. Recently was named that. So they do very, very important cutting-edge research. Attached to Caltech is the Jet Propulsion Institute, Jet Propulsion Lab. A student, a graduate student at this institution, it turned out was sending information, classified research that was funded by our tax money, was being sent to Israel. This is, you know, violating a number of laws. The professor that he was working under tried to report it. It got covered up. So far, I don't think anything has happened about that. Again, because people don't know these facts. Who suffers from this? Who suffers from this? Everybody suffers from this. In this country, we have children with inadequate schools. We have seniors with inadequate health care. We have veterans who are suffering, who served our country and are treated badly when they return. We have municipalities in trouble. We have a nation that is becoming increasingly disliked, sometimes hated, for the things that Israel does with our tax money. And we are held responsible for that. That is hurting us. That is placing our children in danger. Who else is this hurting? It's hurting Palestinians every day. Every day more are being killed. If you go to our website, If Americans Knew, you'll learn about which child was killed last week, which person maybe lost their eye yesterday, which farmer had more of his land confiscated, which farmer had more of his ancient olive trees destroyed. Who else is this hurting? It's hurting people throughout the Middle East. Palestinian refugees are throughout the Middle East with great need. All refugees on earth have the right to return home. This is a human right. It doesn't depend on your country or your religion or your race. We all have human rights that go to all human beings. So Palestinian refugees have the internationally recognized right to go back to their homes, but Israel doesn't allow it. So you have these populations throughout the Middle East. And then Israel, you know, all of this I've researched over the last 16 years. I hope some of you may want to buy my book. It's fully footnoted. I believe very much that we have to be accurate and precise in the information we give people. Well, the Iraq War was a tragedy. It was a tragedy for Iraq. It was a tragedy for our citizens, for our young soldiers, who many of whom did not come back. Some came back psychologically and physically extremely damaged, their families that are damaged. Why did we invade Iraq? Well, there are a number of countries, a number of books that describe why we invaded Iraq. In Israel, in the Israeli media, it was written about quite openly that it was pro-Israel neoconservatives that pushed the invasion against Iraq because they felt that would be good for Israel, because Iraq was supposedly, potentially, a danger to Israel. There have been a number of strategy papers written by Israeli analysts and some American analysts working for Israel through the years, beginning in about 1980, then there's one in 1990, there's recently an email that came out from Hillary Clinton. in which the strategy is said to protect Israel, there needs to be divide and conquer of the Middle East. That there, the civil wars are good for Israel. There was a strategy paper written about 30 years ago calling the Balkanization of the Middle East, in which everybody would be broken up into little factions in which they would all be fighting against one another. And what do we see going on now? What do we see going on now? So we see Iraq having been destroyed. We see now the destabilization that caused throughout the Middle East. We see that Syria, which was the strategy paper, one of them was called In Defense of the Realm. This was written by a group of American officials writing for Benjamin Netanyahu. This is well documented. It's very public knowledge. They decided that the threats to Israel were Iraq, Iran, and Syria. So Iraq was destroyed. Syria now is in the middle of chaos. And there have been attempts to invade Iran, a country that has done nothing against us, that actually has often been helpful to us. And yet there's the effort to target that. Then we see refugees that are destabilizing the world, tragedies. So all of this, everybody, who else is this hurting? It's hurting Israelis. It is not good to be in a country that is in war, at war against other people, that are at war against all the people in their region. This is a country that could become a normal nation, a nation for all its citizens, that abides by human rights, that gives equal rights to its Christian and Muslim citizens. Equal rights, not third-class rights. This could be a nation that has a culture that's Arabic and Hebrew and a very diverse culture. Instead, it is a country that is at war with the world, with much of the world, with people in Palestine. The war, the violence continues. The way that we can stop this, and this is so huge, when I became curious, I had no idea what a huge, huge issue I was starting to learn about. I just got curious about Palestine. What can we do about this? This is one thing we can do. One thing we can do is what you've done here, organize an event. Come out publicly to support and to demand equal rights, human rights for Palestinians, to end the oppression of Palestinians, to end the violence against all people and including Palestinians. This is one thing we can do. We can also educate our campuses. We can bring, I spoke yesterday in Ann Arbor. Anybody that's a student, you can bring speakers. You can put on events in your campuses. You can visit churches. You could visit the churches that are here. You could go to them and say, we would love to meet with you. We would like to invite you to our mosques, to our homes. We would like to meet one another and tell you about some information and about our lives and about what we have and share with you. We can do that when you're at work and you have a colleague. You can share with your colleagues some information. We have a table here full of written materials, fact sheets about Palestine, about how much of our money goes to Israel, that are there for you to take, to as many as you'd like, to give to other people, to tell people what's going on. I've written a book that many people happily say that they feel on Amazon, there are over 370 customer reviews, and they say things like, eye-opening, every American must read this book. One person said that this book can be read in a few hours, it's very short, and this reviewer said it has the power to change the world. Because truth is powerful, facts are powerful, justice is powerful, peace is powerful. When we all join together, when we decide that we can change things, we can do that. We can reach everybody. We can reach across the political spectrum. Many of us perhaps are liberals, perhaps from the left, perhaps Democrats, maybe other parties. We can reach everybody. When I began working on this issue, it was wonderful because I met people from very different backgrounds than myself, sometimes very different political backgrounds than myself. And I learned that when they learned the facts about Palestine, they joined the movement for justice. They joined the movement to support Palestinian human rights and to prevent the war and carnage that's spreading throughout the world. I believe, as others have said and as I've said, it's our obligation to do that. We can do that, and we must do that. Let me give you, before I stop, some positive, I feel, optimistic information. Because the pro-Israel groups in this country are so vocal and are very powerful at the top levels of government, at the top levels of the media, they can lead many of us to think all Americans are fanatically in support of Israel. It can seem like that, with a small number of us that have departed from that. But actually, that's not the case. When you look at surveys, you discover that about 70%, over two-thirds, close to three-quarters of the American public, says we should not take sides on Israel-Palestine. What that means, if we followed that preference, we would not give Israel $10 million per day. We would not veto international resolutions on behalf of Israel. We would not give Israel special trade benefits. So it's actually quite a strong stand by almost three-quarters of the public. Then there's another survey that specifically talked about aid to Israel. It turned out that 62% of Americans in this survey, 62% felt that we give Israel too much money. 62%. To win something, all we need is 51%. So here already, we have the majority of the American public having stands that are the ones that will potentially bring peace and justice. So why aren't we getting those policies? Because at this point, not enough people are voting on this issue. Those people that don't want to take sides or to say that we're giving too much, that's their preference, but they're not acting on it. It's sort of like if you have a generator and you haven't connected up the wiring and turned on the switch. That's what we have to do. What we all have to do is educate more people, motivate more people, and then we have to go to our politicians and our elected representatives and make known our desires. That is our civic responsibility as patriotic Americans, to become involved in our government. When we feel our government is doing something wrong, it is our patriotic responsibility to make that known and to say to a politician or to a candidate, we will not vote for you unless you push through policies that are rational, moral, in the best interests of all people, and in the best interests of Americans. If you do not do that, I will not vote for you. That is what we require. That is what is our job to do. And when each group like this around the country, happily around the country, there are people like this in every state, in Alaska. I went to Alaska and spoke in Fairbanks and Anchorage and Juneau, a lot of different places. All throughout the United States are groups like this, diverse groups, people of different backgrounds and faiths and races, all joining together determined to change what's going on. So if all of us say, okay, our responsibility is this area, is this congressional district, it's only about one county, maybe two counties, it's a small geographic area. If we all say, okay, we will educate our fellow Americans, here, we will distribute information, we will put on programs at universities, we will speak at Rotary clubs, we will bring in speakers, we will put on films, we will educate people, and we will also tell our elected representative, this is what we want you to vote for. We want you to end aid to Israel now. Aid to Israel is preventing peace. It's creating violence. It's harming the entire world. It is hurting Americans. It's time for us to change that, for the interests of all people, for children throughout the world, for our own children, for those who come after us. It is our responsibility to step forward and to do this every generation has the chance to bring change, to bring justice. Previous ones have made important changes in the world. I've seen important changes in our lifetime. This is the one now for us to do. This is the one we will join together and we will do. Thank you so much for having me here today.